So as you know, if you've been here the last couple of weeks, in Advent this year, we are not focusing simply on preparation expectation on Sundays, but because it is Christmas in the world already, and because we know how this story turns out, we're taking time to look at the different names of Jesus and ways in which we get to live into that and grow deeper in our experience and knowledge of who God's Son is for us. So we've looked at the Messiah, Jesus, and today we get Emmanuel. We just heard in our gospel today, Emmanuel is a name that means God with us. Now today, Pastor Jen and I, we're going to tag team preaching. And one of the things we're going to ask you is, whenever we say the name Emmanuel, we're going to ask you respond saying, God with us. Let's try that. Emmanuel.
God with us.
Not bad for Lutherans. Thank you. So our question today is, how is God with us? You know, as Christians, our challenge is to keep listening for God's voice and to keep re-understanding and reinterpreting God's word and God's will for us in our time and in our place. So that means, in addition to the gospel today, we have another text, if you will. All of us, God's people in this place. And we thought one of the best ways to get at this, instead of talking about it, is to have some pictures. You know the old adage, a picture's worth 1,000 words, right? Which means a picture's worth 1 sermon. Yeah, okay.
Are we done for the next year then?
Yeah, pretty much. So, we are looking at photos of Emmanuel. Very good. Our mission statement, right there on the wall, says, we are a community gathered in Christ, fed by God's word, and sent to serve. Well, for all of us, that journey begins in baptism. Yes? Where we receive God's promise for us. It's a time when we enter into our family of faith. One of the extensions of our community, then, is ways that we are connected with others. Pastor Jen?
One of the most public things we do in that gathering is worship. Often, we interchange the words church and worship. But that can be misleading at times. If you notice the line at the end of our bulletin each week, it reads, our worship has ended, let our service begin. Worship is just one of the ways in which we gather, one of the ways we are a church, one of the ways that we are fed, just one of the ways that we praise God and give back to God. When we worship, there is a certain way of doing it. In the Lutheran Church, we follow a particular order that includes being gathered, hearing God's word, celebrating Holy Communion, and then being sent. How we go about that order, or what other pieces we might include in worship, vary from church to church, often, as you've experienced, from week to week. Unfortunately, though, worship is not like one of Pastor Tom's tube socks. Worship does not come in a one-size-fits-all category. Not only do each of us have different preferences for the type of music that is meaningful or the kind of words that make sense to us or a preference for what kind of preacher you prefer to listen to, each of us comes for different reasons. Some come to worship simply because it wouldn't be a Sunday if you didn't. Some of you come because you are lost or hurting or confused. Others because you are grateful and joyful. Some come because they have to. Others come because they feel guilty if they don't. Some come because you feel needed. You have a job to do here. While others come because you are needing. Some of you come because you want to learn. While others come because what you were taught growing up doesn't make sense in your life right now. Our preferences, our needs, and our histories all converge into this one place on one morning. And it's pretty amazing if you try to break it all down. While you may have nothing to pray for this week, or maybe you're even feeling kind of blah this week, as you gather in this community and speak the words, sing the songs, pray the prayers, you're not doing this alone or only for yourself. You are doing this for all those who are gathered and even for those who can't be here for whatever reason. As you pray, you are praying with the ones beside you who might not be able to say the words, or for those who might be too angry or depressed to feel like praising God. Our worship is not for God, contrary to what some religious leaders have recently spoken. Our worship is not to make God happy. We don't always come to worship just to make ourselves happy either. We come to worship to be fed, to be nurtured, to be supported, and celebrated together in this journey that we're called to be on. And we all have different ways and needs and desires to get from worship. Worship is just one way that we nourish our souls to have the strength and the courage to know Emmanuel,
God with us.
Because of all of these differences, we end up with a variety and an interconnection of all the ways we do ministry around here, and certainly an array of opportunities to be fed and nourished through the church. For example, in our confirmation program, it's filled with young Christians eagerly jumping in to experience different ways Christ works in us while they are gaining more knowledge about the church, the Bible, and God. And if you doubt that they are eager, just show up some Sunday night when they're all gathered in here and witness what goes on. We have youth who are being fed so much that they want to share it with their friends. We have youth who ask if they can do stuff, and then they turn around and thank us for the opportunity for them to recycle the cans or to be confirmation members or to help with Sunday school. We're not only fed when we're learning, we're fed when we simply gather together with others, when we spend time with each other, being together. And sometimes we get to have fun doing it. Emmanuel, God with us.
So we're gathered in Christ. We're fed by God's word. But we don't stop there, right? Emmanuel,
God with us,
sends us back into the world. The church, as you know, is ideally like a gas station. This is where we are fueled up. But who ends their trip at a gas station? No, that's where we start. It's where we are sent to. This is the place we are sent from to carry God's work into this world. Now, you're probably aware there are a lot of ways that we work to bring God's love into this world, trying to live in the way of Emmanuel. We have photos here of the pallet of macaroni and cheese. Sorry, I stepped on you. The pallet of macaroni and cheese we do in January for kids in the city. Work at Hephatha. The quilts, look at that beautiful day. The giving tree that has been cleaned off yet again. And lots of other ways. There's a photo of a house that was rebuilt at Pine Ridge Reservation this summer. And more of those opportunities coming up. And Christmas events and food packs and kids collecting funds for the hungry. We are sent to serve. In each of these places, in each of these ways, we try to show God's love in tangible ways. In meals, in homes, in support for those seeking sobriety, food, needs of children. Emmanuel.
God with us.
Very good. Now, you might be surprised to know that while there are lots and lots of outreach options with different partners and organizations, we only spend 10% of our offerings on that directly. So here's where we get to connect the dots a little bit. See, the place we are sitting in right now, this is where we are gathered and fed, right? When we pay our mortgage, we may not think of that as outreach. But because we do pay our mortgage, because we are here, we are able to be gathered and fed. This is the place we are sent from. In a way, if you want, we could apportion a percentage of our mortgage cost as outreach, because without it, outreach wouldn't happen, would it? When we gather for worship, everything we do here doesn't just happen. Wednesday nights around here, they're a big deal. You should stop in sometime. There's musicians all over the place, rehearsing, practicing. Stop in and see it. Sandy in our office does a lot of printing. These things don't come out of the air. Sandy in our office puts them together as well as all the other planning that happens. Pastor Jen and the music staff plan worship. And, of course, all these things have a cost that we're going to hear about at our annual meeting after worship. Then there are seven of us that you have called and hired, and you pay us to do and plan the work of this church, not for you, but with you, on your behalf. When Pastor Jen and I visit the sick, the homebound, or the dying, when we meet with people, talk with them about the stuff of life, when we plan and teach classes, we never do this alone. You all come with us. See, as pastors, we get to do this on your behalf. It is what we are trained to do. Just like we hire plumbers and mechanics to do things for us we're not trained to do, or in my case, things I really shouldn't do, because it costs me more. You hire us to do this specific work with you and for you. But this is not just a job. And by the way, this is not about us. It is about how we together try to live in the way of Emmanuel, God with us.
The whole reason for the church is not to make God happy, not to save ourselves, not even to make ourselves happy, although for many, much joy comes from these ministries that take place. The reason for the church is so that God can continue to transform us, to guide us, to be with us. We don't have any legitimate excuses not to trust God's presence with us. God has promised us eternal life, no matter what, unconditional love. God has come to us through Christ who died on the cross so that we might realize God's love for us. God cares for us, leads us, directs us, and transforms us by challenging us, by bringing people onto our paths, giving us the opportunity to be transformed. And we'll never be done with that transformation. The church today looks a lot different than it did in the past. And it will look a lot different in the future. The needs of the community around us are always changing, and we are called to respond, to accept God's transforming work in us, to trust in God's unfailing love for us, and to be like Christ, Emmanuel, God with us.